You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.
Spectrum is the name of Camden's day centre for the homeless based off Camden High Street. The front door is big and blue, set in an old warehouse archway. Inside, the main room is a large rectangular space, with a pool of chairs in the middle. There are windows down one side, with frosted glass in the bottom half, but clear at top, like the room is in the belly of a ship, with part above the waterline and part below. It was morning when I arrived, and there were some men sitting in the chairs with teas and coffees in front of them, and others curled up on their sides, still trying to get some sleep. I sat down at one of the chairs and found myself opposite Martin and Jack, who were happy to talk.
I won £400 on a scratch card. I bought it from Hampstead Eve. So I booked a holiday on the internet. I went to Mallorca for seven nights. That's interesting, isn't it? It's something to talk about, isn't it?
It's something to talk about.
That's Jack, animated and loud, with a toothy beard and a grin and a chuckle on his breath. By contrast, Martin is a quiet man who looked exhausted.
20 years.
You've been here 20 years?
20 years, yeah.
So this is like home?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So how many hours a day do you kind of spend in here, do you think?
How many hours?
Four hours, yeah.
Yeah.
Half
yeah,
nights, about half one. Yeah.
Is that because it closes or...
Cause no, I just... It gets a bit rough in there soon, you know, so... I tend to just go, you know.
But so you're not homeless, you got a place to sleep?
No, I was... But these got me a place, you know.
Stay with him, didn't I? I stay with him, didn't I?
Yeah.
I stay at his place, yeah.
Oh,
I
right.
sleep on the floor. I sleep on the floor, yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's also where, yeah.
Your flatmates?
Yeah.
Yeah, well like, I'm his lodger. I've known this man for 45 years.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not good.
He's been to, like, 40 years, yeah.
I've known 40 years.
Messing a hostel, you know.
Yeah, we're better in a hostel.
We stuck together ever since, you know. This place has helped me packing drugs, you know. You know, I was like taking like opiates, you know, painkillers, yeah. And they've helped me pack that in, you know.
Directly here, the guys
here? Yeah, basically, yeah. I've got like a key worker, and I see her on a weekly basis, and she's like helped me pack it in, you know. I've been taking it for like 6 years, I've been clean for four now, you know. But without this place, I'd probably be dead, you know. So it helps you in many ways, you know. Yeah, yeah. Keeps you sane, you know.
Some guys at Camden Town said that they'd love to come here, but because of the policy...
You've got, like, you've got to be in a catchment area, you know?
You've got to have the Camden
connection.
You've
got to have a Camden connection. If you've not got that, you can't come in, you know? Which I don't agree with, you know? Everyone's equal, aren't they, you know?
Why don't you agree with it?
Well, everyone's equal, aren't they, you know? And you should be, like, treated the same, you know?
Amir was sitting nearby while I'd been talking to Jack and Martin. He had a woolly hat on and a tracksuit. His demeanour was very calm. He'd been using Spectrum for a week, and before that, he was in prison.
What are you using the service for? What are you doing here?
Showers, to be able to cook my food, because I bring food into the place, and there's a cooking facilities at the back. But mainly showers, and to help me with my paperwork. It's a safe place to be, given that I'm a drug user, or ex-drug user, I've stopped using. But, you know, I'm just, well, whilst I'm homeless and I've got so much time on my hand, I'd rather be here than outside in the cold, surrounded by bad influences, really.
So right now you are homeless, you don't have a hostel?
No, none at all.
Okay, and even though you've just been released from custody prison, they didn't sort any kind of...
They tried, but due to the circumstances, there's no, as you keep hearing, there's no stock left where housing is concerned.
Yeah, so that was the reason, that they just couldn't find...
There's no stock, there's no houses, there's no flats, no beds, it's nothing. Absolutely. Unless I'm with child, unfortunately I'm male, I won't be getting nowhere.
So you're getting the showers here, using the internet, using...
Showers, internet, cooking. The staff are great, they try their utmost. I've seen them the last week, I really have seen them. They work hard, you can see it. They keep a steady ship.
So when you think about your aims for your future... what you want for yourself, do you think that you've got the support you need and there's a pathway back? Do you feel confident?
I'm confident. It's just the key to it all is patience. You have to be patient because there's so much people. There's so many people. There's so many people, so many applications. People's caseloads are
Amir raised his hand above the coffee table to show me just how high the pile of cases must be. We sat chatting for a while after that. He told me how hard it was to stay positive when you've got nothing and are surrounded by people who are negative. And then somehow we started talking about God. Amir says he is a complete believer in God, and I asked him what he meant by that, and he said he didn't believe in the God of any particular faith or religion. His God was even bigger. That's what he meant by a complete believer. He said that I was going to try to put him in a box to define him as one thing or another, and I said I'd try my best not to. The last thing I asked him was whether homelessness was a result of a cruel system or a cruel society, and he said people had stopped caring about their neighbours. If they didn't even know their neighbours, how could they know the homeless? Beside us, an older guy, with a smell of stale alcohol on him, was sprawled asleep in the chair. I'd been invited to visit Spectrum by Carla, who is one of the small staff that runs the centre. She took me on a tour of the rest of the building where, beside the main room, there is a laundry, showers, and a very small kitchen that everyone has to share. There's a smoking area at the back, with an empty room that's no longer in use beside it. I looked around for entertainment and noticed that there was no TV. I asked Carla why not, and she said it causes arguments about what to watch. The only entertainment I could see was a Jenga set on a big table by the door that had been laid out to look like Stonehenge. Carla and I went upstairs to sit down and talk in the staff quarters.
What we do is people who are rough sleeping here in Camden or have a history of homelessness or at risk of homelessness, they can come into Spectrum. So basic needs, breakfast, shower, laundry, somewhere quiet, you know, somewhere safe, they can feel safe. They can talk to us if they want to. We try and encourage them as time goes on to talk to us about, you know, their problems, why they're on the street, and we'll try and link them into the services that they need, whether that's like mental health, drug services, or housing, obviously. And I think in each quarter we see about 200 or so people, and you know, a lot of the time they don't have a connection here in Camden, you know, so it's about trying to find out what's happening with them, like where are they from, why aren't they in that area, where can we signpost them back to, where they're going to feel safe, where they're going to get the help that they need.
Yeah, I have heard people say specifically about Spectrum that they came here and they weren't allowed to access the service because they don't have that connection.
Sure.
How do you feel about that?
I think if we were to just say to people, oh no, you don't have a Camden connection, that would, you know, that wouldn't sit right with us. What we do is we reconnect people. So we signpost them, we make sure that they know where they're going. So it's not like, oh, sorry, you just can't come in here. It's, okay, where are you from? What's happening there? Is it safe for you to go back there? If it's not, let's figure that out, you know?
I mean, I guess, do you wish that you could offer them? I mean, you must notice, you'll see guys that are out there a lot, and you must kind of see them and know that maybe they've come by and you've spoken to them and they're still there.
Yeah, they're still there, and they need to go to the services that are going to help them move on and off the street in Camden. I mean, that's not us, you know. So they need to be engaging with outreach teams. They need to be engaging with day centres that are able to support them, like West London Day Centre, for example, you know, or the Passage, or whatever day centre in the area that they're from. That's where they need to go to get the help, really.
So what's a day-to-day sort of... so coming here, I saw some guys sitting down on the computer. There's a few guys sitting around having a coffee. Guys out the back having a fag. Guys talking to you. What's your kind of your day-to-day routine?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's different every day. So, I mean, in the morning time, like now, people will come in. They're doing their laundry, they're having showers, getting breakfast, just kind of chilling out as well and being on the computer. Or like you saw, the clients coming to me and I'm trying to help them figure out what they're going to do with their day. It's like a bit of a to-do list that we sort out in the morning, for people figuring out their appointments and stuff. But then we'll have, like yesterday we had the homeopathist in. Later on today we're going to have cooking. We have like harm minimization group, alcohol group.
And is that stuff popular, those?
It's up and down. It depends on the day. It depends on if it's raining So if it's raining, we're very popular. But it's been quite sunny recently. So when you try and get people involved a little bit more in doing some group work, I think I could just sit in the park instead of actually, you know, talking about all this.
What are some of the struggles that people that you see face when they come in that they're trying to overcome?
I think breakdown of relationships is like a massive one.
What do you mean? Their personal relationships or like a love? Or do you mean like that tends to be people who've had like a marriage that fell apart, a single relationship that fell apart, or just in general?
Just in general. I mean, you know, you start talking to people about like where are your friends, where are your family right now? You know, and you'll see that, you know, something's happened, something terrible's happened, and they've had to leave their family home, whether that's they've fallen out with their parents and they're a bit scared of their dad, or, you know, they've fallen out with their wife and she's kicked him out onto the street. And that's like 9 times out of 10, that's where people end up here. Like the ICs, that they can't go back, they've got no one to support them, they've got no one that's going to be able to put them up, not even for a night. And that's quite, you know, socially, that's quite affecting when you think about that. It's like, if a cousin was to just drop into my inbox one day and say, I don't have anywhere to stay right now, can we meet up? And I would go. So what puts these guys out on the street? It's, yeah, just try and rebuild those relationships. But a lot of the clients that I have, that, you know, they don't want to go into a hostel. You know, they're entrenched rough sleepers, and it takes a lot of trust and the build up between them and their outreach worker to agree to going into a hostel. You know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done before someone maybe feels ready to kind of re-enter accommodation, considering everything's broken down before. It's almost like they think, you know, as soon as they go into a hostel, they're going to have to start engaging with this and this and changing things about their life that maybe they're not, and facing up to things in their life that maybe they're not ready to do yet. So there has to be a lot of work from on a street level with their outreach work and like the mental health workers as well before that can even happen. So I think from an outside looking in, and you think, why is this taking so long? Why, you know, why are these clients not off the street already? They're not going to tell you that it's because they want to be there, because that doesn't make any sense. But they'll kind of evade you, you know. So they're, you know, not really, yeah, sometimes get involved, but not really.
And those deaths in Camden Town that we've had, so there's been 6 since, I think that's what New Journal's saying now, 6 for inside a year. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that here?
Yeah, we do. I mean, when we know someone that's died out on the street, it's the worst place to die, isn't it? It's like the last place that you want anyone that you know to take their last breath is on the street here in Camden Town, you know, with still all these problems, you know, that they haven't solved. It's not nice at all.
On my way out, I spotted a man I knew sitting at a table eating some cornflakes. It was Michael, who had spoken 2 months ago about being homeless in Camden. At that time, he wasn't allowed into Spectrum. Now he had a new chain with crosses on round his neck, and his clothes looked clean. His eyes were haggard as ever. We spoke, and he said that he was trying to get all he could from this place, but he knew that his biggest problem was to get off Spice. While we were talking, another face I knew bumped into me, an Irish fellow who only half remembered who I was, and asked me for his passport and papers, then said he needed to speak to me in private. They both spoke highly of Spectrum, and the work Carla and her colleagues do there.
You're listening to a download from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.